This is the Sue Freeze Show, talking about life, relationships, and achieving.
Do you wonder why you have to feel the things that hurt you? If there's a God who loves you, where is he now? Would you dare to believe that you still have a reason to sing? Cause the pain that you've been feeling, it can't compare to the joy that's coming. So hold on.
Here's your host, Sue Freeze.
I just want you to know that I am so thankful to be with you today. I am live in the studio. I'm in Frank Pastore's studio, and it just is so wonderful to be sitting in this seat and feeling his spirit surrounding me just throughout this whole KKLA place. And I just feel so grateful, so honored, and so thankful to be able to be in this studio. And I just want you to know that I am so excited to be with you. The phone number to dial to call in and talk to me, since we are live, it's not pre-recorded, is 888-995-5552. And I'm really welcoming you to call in. And what's the subject matter today? Well, I'm kind of all over the board, which isn't new for me, but I'm isolating this a little bit. So I'm just going to tell you a little bit about what's happened just today for me. Is I woke up this morning and I didn't have anywhere I had to go, which was so different than the usual for me. I didn't have anything planned until this show today. There's things that I could get done, like laundry. You know, you can relate, I'm sure, to, you know, just the things that you have to get done. But then I get a phone call from a very special person in my life saying that she just has some big, big decisions to make that could be life-changing for her. And she's not sure which way to go because, you know, she's not sure. They're big, big decisions. So therefore, what do I do? And so we talked for quite a while about the opportunities that have brought themselves to her. And they didn't just appear. There's things that she's done that have prepared her for these positions. And some are better than others. And some bring these good things. And some bring some of these other things. And weighing all these opportunities is a big deal. And there's such parallels with this, with any decision and anything that we're doing in life. And I thought, how interesting that this is happening today and the thought process. So I'm gonna present something to you that I presented to her. I love her so much. And I presented this to her. I said, your life is like a canvas. Just picture your life as a canvas. And this goes for all you listeners, no matter where you are in your walk. No matter where you are in your life journey, is let's picture today is the first day of the rest of your life. Yes, we know that. We need to learn from our lessons from the past. But your life is like a canvas. It's a blank canvas. There's nothing on it right now. Now I want you to envision your life as you would like to see it pan out. And this is, yes, I'm saying you, how you would like it panned out. Not God right now, just you. And we will come together with what God's purpose is for you. But right now, let's just isolate how you picture, this painting to look like. What does it look like? Your life, what does it look like? What are your needs? What are your wants? What is it that you really, really, really would like to see happen in your life? Now with that, you have the opportunity to pick the colors that you want to put on this canvas. What does that look like? And then you get to picture and paint the strokes. How do you want the strokes to pan out? All these things are decision-making. It's a process. It's a process that you go through. And, you know, the picture, once it's completely done, you have accomplished this goal. Now, it's evolving all the time because things happen during our lives and, you know, things switch a little bit because this happens and that happens and, oh, gosh, this looks better than even what I thought. And that could be God prompting you in another direction. So after you've got this picture in your mind of how you want your life to look, then you ask God, okay, God, what do you want my life to look like and what do I need to do to prepare for your work in my life, because you are it, God. You know, what you want for my life, how you created me, what you created me for is what I want to pursue. And your purpose needs to be my purpose. So with that in mind, now, what does that look like? And what do I need to do to go forward? So phone number to call in is 888-995-5552. I want to hear from you what you feel this canvas could look like. And, you know, it seems overwhelming. And I always tell people all the time is that, you know, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time. And that's truly what we need to do, is we need to think about it and we need to start jotting things down, don't we? Well, the show today is about just that. And part of something that's happened in my life is that I just wrote a book. I'm writing a book. It's not completed yet. It's in progress. And when you do this, I picked up a book and it says Overcoming Writing Blocks. And when I started to read this book, I thought, how funny, because the things that it's saying relate to my sweet loved one that I talked to on the phone today, is because blocks don't have to be writing blocks. They could just be blocks. They could be overcoming fear, overcoming you know, wanting to please everyone, and you want to be accepted, and your decisions, you want them to be accepted by all. And that's just, I don't know if that's really possible. You know, you can't please everybody all the time. So you have to focus on what God wants and what you want. And when you do that, everything seems to pan out. It's kind of like, you know, love thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and body, and love thy neighbor as thyself. And that's kind of the same thing. But you need to take time for yourself also, and that's something that I mentioned today, is that, you know, God took 40 days, didn't he, to go into the wilderness to get rest and to think about himself, because we can get so busy and so worked up all the time that we don't take time to feel. And that's good sometimes to do that, but it's also good to take that time to actually just take a breath and to breathe. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5. You can stream on kkla.com and click on Listen Live. You can call in right now and talk to me. Really talk to me right now. I want to hear from you. 888-995-5552. You also, if you know somebody that needs to hear this and you can't get a hold of them right now, that's fine. You can tell them to go to Sue Free, spelt like fries, one word, .com. And you can pick podcasts for the last 3 years, and you can listen to them at your when you want, at your time, and, you know, when it's convenient for you, which is really wonderful. Going through this book calling Overcoming Writing Blocks, because, like I said, I'm writing a book right now, and, you know, it's really difficult to do this. You think, you know, if you've never done this, it's difficult, because where do you start? You know, where do you start with this thought process, and who are you writing this book for, and who is it going to grab? And I thought about that even. It's you know, with my company, Ecola, parallels in life. You know, when you're advertising and you're promoting anything, it's, okay, who are you trying to connect with, and who are you doing this for? It's really interesting, because in advertising, you got to know your demographics. You got to know who you're reaching. And in previous shows, I've talked about, you know, finding a niche or finding a need and filling it. And when you write a book, that is what you're doing, is that your life experiences or whatever you're writing the book about, you need to think about the person you're writing it for, because you want to give them hope, you want to give them education, knowledge, you want to give them facts, whatever you're doing. And so you design your book just like you're designing your life, is that you want to do these things. You want to fulfill God's purpose in your life. So all these things considered, it's like there's these parallels that go on, one step, another step, and you need to be prepared along the way. And everything that's happened to us in our lives right now, up until this point, we can feel like a victim, or we can say, I'm learning this from this, and I'm going to forgive it, I'm going to move on, I'm going to take the lesson, and then I'm going to utilize it for God's glory moving forward. I have a guest with me today. Her name is Kristen Wells. She has a Bachelor's of Science degree from Master's College in Biblical Counseling, and is the newly published author of a Christian fiction novel entitled The Warring Soul. Kristen resides in Valencia, California, with her husband, Greg, and her two children, Katie and Justin. Kristen, are you there?
I am. Thank you, Sue.
Well, thank you, Kristen, for being on the show today. I am welcoming people to call in and talk to us about their life or what their maybe their block is right now. Maybe they're holding on to past experiences.
Right.
You know, what is holding people back from success? What are your blocks in your life right now? How have you overcome those blocks? Those are questions that I want the listeners to call in on, you know, so that they can be on track with us and we can talk together with them.
That sounds great.
So you wrote a book.
I did.
I can relate
like
to.
You're doing.
Yeah,
exactly.
It's, you know what I attribute it? It's kind of like birthing a baby, isn't it? It's
it
like
really is.
Giving birth.
Yeah, it means so much to you when you're writing it, especially when you're putting so many of your own personal experiences into something, that it's definitely, it becomes such a part of you.
It's so true. So let's just get right into what is the book about?
The book is actually a first in a series of books. This one kind of deals with just the amazing stories of how people come to the Lord, and just how you can come from a dark place into a light place, and it just, you know, it talks about this girl, Kate, and how she kind of comes from, like, this volatile family and volatile life. And she kind of chooses really wrong things in order to fill almost that love cup you would talk about, you know. And then it kind of comes to this point where she has to make a decision of what her life is going to be like. And, you know, she chooses God, but kind of in a wrong way. People kind of can choose God because they're running from something instead of having a relationship with him.
Mm-hmm.
And she does that in this book, and she learns that that's actually not a good way to choose anything. And so, you know, it really just deals with her life and where she's coming from and how she can come from somewhere dark, but then at the end just come out and find hope and find out who God truly is and what that will mean for her life.
So this is a person that you know?
This is actually, funny enough, a lot of my own personal experiences, and I use them, and I say that because, you know, I think a lot of people can gain hope from learning about other people's personal experiences.
I truly believe that.
And I really think that if we shared more about where we come from and the things that we face, then we can help people more so than kind of putting on a facade that everything's okay. And I really tried to bring into this book just a lot of my own dark experiences and what I came through to find God. And then, you know, in that, of course, you know, trying to reach your listeners, you want to put a little bit of some suspense and romance in there just to kind of keep them reading. But I put a lot of my own heart and soul on things that I went through just to give people hope, to let them know that this is, you really can come from a dark place into a light place.
That is so true. Amen to that. And, you know, I am very transparent on this show. There's listeners that know quite a bit about my past. And, you know, our past is our past.
Definitely.
And I talk to the listeners about forgiving ourselves of whatever choices we've made in the past.
Exactly.
And sometimes that can be the biggest hindrance to healing there is.
Exactly. And I think that's why we really have to look at ourselves as born again.
Yes.
And that we can leave that past behind us. You know, a lot of people who kind of hear my story will say, oh my goodness, I cannot picture you like that at all. And I say, well, that's because that's not who I am anymore.
Right.
I'm born again. I'm a new creature in Christ. And that's what's important.
It is what's important. So listeners, if you're listening and you want to be transparent and maybe unleash a secret with us, we would love to hear from you. We want to hear from you because the healing starts when we become transparent, when we allow ourselves to let this out so that we can be born again and we can get the healing and the encouragement and comfort that we need. So just understand if there's anything blocking you, if there's something holding you back from success, we would love to hear from you so that we can work together to make that, you know, not be the case anymore. So with that being said, I'm interested in some of these events that have happened in your life. So you want to share?
Well, there's, you know, I think everybody kind of comes from a place where you're trying to, when you're not a Christian, you always try, I think, to fill that void. You try to find something to fill your life with that love that only Christ can give you. You know, so for me, I really turned to things that were, especially when I went to college and I was on my own, I really tried to fill my life with things that gave me control, whether it was drug use or eating disorders or things like that. And I just, it got me to a place where I really had no hope. And I, you know, I really felt just completely lost. And I was lucky enough to have a wonderful gal who came to me and took me to church. And I think I was so touched by the people that were there and the things that happened there and that her, just her transparency with me about her own life and where she had come from, that I opened up to her. And, you know, I think that it was at that point that I really felt like there could be something better out there. You know, that this does not have to be my life. I'm not stuck here. No matter what I've done or where I'm coming from or the choices I've made in my life, I'm not stuck. There's always a way out. And, you know, she kind of helped me along to see that Christ was that way and that, you know, I can make a difference in my life for better, to become the person that I wanted to be. So, you know, I moved on to a Christian college at that point, master's, where I ended up getting my degree in, and I sought biblical counseling because that was something that was, that touched my heart, because I felt at that point like I could really help other people who maybe had come from situations that I had come from, and, you know, kind of sought that out and really start to learn about what it truly means to have a relationship with God and not just know God. They're two totally separate things.
You are so right there. That is so true. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, KKLA 99.5, and we're talking to a new author, Kristen Wells. Doesn't that sound interesting? Don't you love that?
Great.
I know. Yeah, I know it does, doesn't it? But we're talking about her book that she wrote, The Warring Soul, and we're talking about how this began and what's happened and so on and so forth. So if you've just joined in, that's what we're talking about. And so when and why did you begin writing?
Well, first I wrote as a kid just as an outlet. You know, I had this wild imagination. I still do. And I needed a way to let that out, and I did that through writing. And then, you know, I was one of those kids that kind of used their dining table as a portal, you know, into a fantasy land. Or we didn't have those new fandangled technology that my kids even have today. We had to use our imaginations. And so as a kid, I just really wrote these stories and poems, and just to kind of as an outlet for me to express myself. But I never thought anybody would read them. But then it kind of switched, you know, it really switched for me later on, as I kind of pursued this book. I started kind of writing it more as, like I said, like an outlet for closure for myself, to kind of write it as a story of what I went through to become a Christian, and an outlet for me of expression. And that's how it began at first. But then, you know, after talking to some youth pastors and stuff like that around, you know, I really started realizing that our youth today are really having a hard time trying to find the Lord and live a godly life, because they're so drawn by the things of this world. And a lot of people are like, how do we deal with that? How do we talk to them? And I think openly is the answer to that. And
I agree. I agree with that. Openly,
you know,
and honestly.
Exactly. And I don't think that people do that enough. And that's really how the book became switched,
uh-huh,
and became a ministry opportunity, you
right,
know, to really open up to people.
So when you were writing this book, was there an age group that you were focused on? Because that's part of writing. You got to know who you're writing to.
You do. Right.
Right.
And I think more so because it does come from like a college-aged girl's perspective, is very much like high school, college-age girls. But, you know, a lot of my friends in our 30s are reading it, and we're having a great time with it. And it's great for entertainment, I think, for anyone who's struggling with anything to read it. But I, from the point of view, it's from a point of view of somebody in college.
Right, right. So there's such a need when you get to college, because, you know, high school kids, they're just, you know, they're just getting to that age where they're still under the parents' rule. You know, they get their the keys to the car. I mean, that was a huge trust in the Lord moment for me when I handed the keys to my children, because that's just huge. You know, up until that point, I felt I had a little bit of protection, control, something. But the minute you hand those car keys over, it's over. You know, that's when you totally have to give it over to God and say, okay, I've done my work, and hopefully, Lord, they're in your hands now. And when they get to college, I remember college was a real opener for me, because there were comments made that made me question my belief structure and everything when I got to college. High school, I was still okay, but college is when there was a lot more coming at me than during high school, even though high school was a struggle and, you know, just trying to keep myself on the right, straight and narrow path. But college was where, wow, you know, there's just this whole other world out there, and whew. So so desperately, and the release of parental protection is so obvious, and there's so much coming at you. I just remember when I was interviewing colleges with my daughter, and when we went onto campus and some of the posters that were up, I was just like, what? I just couldn't believe what I was seeing, you know? And I was like, what? You know? And it, boy, I was having a hard struggle. I can just imagine what she was going through. But, you know, it's a difficult thing. When you go to a Christian, you know, a Christian college, it's different. But when you go to a secular one, you know, there's just a lot coming at you. And so I am thankful that you've written, you know, this book that can be of help to people that might be struggling or already in a tough situation and don't really have a relationship with the Lord. And you know, and I totally agree with you that isn't it nice when we can learn from other people's mistakes instead of having to go through them ourselves? We go through enough ourselves that you know, can prevent somebody from making maybe a wrong choice or a wrong decision too.
Exactly.
Another thing I noticed with you is that, you know, you've been writing all along. My daughter journals all the time. She journals all the time, every day. And so that's preparing her maybe to do the same thing, and maybe she's going to be an author because she writes. And, you know, there's preparation there, even though you didn't know back then that you were being prepared to write a book.
Absolutely not.
You know?
Yeah.
That's pretty amazing, isn't it?
And I think even up until I got the contract to publish the book, I didn't even consider it that way. I mean, it was something where I think like 3 days before I got the phone call that my book had been accepted for publishing, I was praying about, you know, God, what am I supposed to be doing right now? What is my ministry? How can I help people? And I had already written the book, but I had no lofty ideas of this actually being accepted anywhere. It was something that, you know, oh, my friends could read it, and I'll try to get it published. And I think that, you know, even that 3 days prior, I was just sitting there praying, please, Lord, what am I supposed to be doing? And then the call came in, and then I was like, okay, this is an answer to prayer. And I really, you know, I really think that we, up until even that point, I had no idea. And I think that's how it is. God opens doors and brings us opportunities that we don't even think that we're capable of doing. And then all of a sudden we're like, wow, this is amazing. This is a great opportunity. And I'm not going to shirk on this opportunity with you, Lord. And may his will be done and let him use you. It's like Moses, you know, when Moses was saying that, you know, at the bush, that he was like, I'm not capable of doing this for you, Lord. And he said to him, let me talk through you. Let me use you, you know, and let me guide you. And I just need you to be my vessel. And that's what we really all are, is vessels for the Lord and getting his message out and loving one another and helping along each other in this life, you know. So who knows, maybe your daughter will be being prepped for that too. She won't know until that time that she'll kind of look back and say, this is amazing what God's doing in my life and the life of those who are around me.
That's right. I love what you're saying right now. It's so great. Listener, what is holding you back from success? What is holding you back? If you're not sure, call us and we'll talk about it. Maybe we can pinpoint it. Maybe we can help you or guide you in the right direction. But we'd like to hear from you. So call us at 888-995-5552 because we're live today. I'm so excited about being live. It's so wonderful. Okay, so what made you want – I already know what made you want to write the book.
Mm-hmm.
And you kind of said, you know, you really didn't know if you were going to publish or not. And then they said yes and whatnot. When and why did you begin writing? When did you start writing, thinking about writing the book instead of just writing for yourself? Or did you just take all of the things that you've written over the years and put it together into a book?
You know, absolutely not. I started the book about 2 years ago, and it wasn't even supposed to be a book. It was never meant to be a book. It was kind of more, I'd always wanted to write a book, and I had these ideas of writing a book, but this didn't particularly start out to be that way. It really kind of started out to be just a story, and I've written so many little stories, and it was like a closure type of thing for me of things that had happened to me that I kind of wanted to put out on paper and let go. And, you know, I think God directs us in such ways that, you know, I had stopped writing anything about it. I had left it, and I really wasn't going to write any more on it. For about 2 months, I kind of let it go. And then, you know, just with talking to those youth pastors, it just came to the forefront of my mind that I was just really, really burdened by the youth. And, you know, my husband I always talk to him about, oh, we really need to be involved with these youth because my heart just feels for them. Because I know what it's like to be young, and I know what it's like to have choices in front of you and not know where to go and not know how to turn and to be confused. And, you know, I felt like hearing from these youth pastors that these kids were having such a hard time with this, that, you know, that maybe I had something to say, and maybe they would listen to me because I've been there and I know, and I'm not just saying, oh, everything will work out. I really know that it will because I've seen it. So I really started then kind of turning it into a story, into a book, and putting those factual things from my life, but then also, you know, using, like I said, the suspense and trying to keep people, you know, and really enthralled in the book so that they'll get to the end so that they can see the glory of the Lord at the end of the book. And this is just the first. This is just the first in the series. The next one really deals with other issues outside of what Kate, this main character in the first one, deals with. The next one's going to deal with her best friend Sam, which deals with a lot of, I think, more supernatural aspects of things that kids seem to be really taken with these days. And again, it's all things that are being filled that are trying to take the place of God. And I really feel like our souls scream for the Lord, and we try to fill it with something else.
We will be back with more of the Sue Free Show, and we have two listeners that want to call in and talk to us, so we'll get you after the break. So hang in there, listeners, and we want to hear from you. So we'll be back with more of the Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5 KKLA.
They're called the stealth bugs of the insect world, termites, every homeowner's nightmare. But a lot of KKLA listeners don't lose a moment of sleep over termites because of Ecola Termite and Pest Control. They are California's leading ecological alternative termite control company. You see, Ecola gets rid of termites by using family-friendly, poison-free alternatives like Electrogun that seeks out and eliminates the little rascals, microwave process for small areas, and their new Ecola Heat using clean, hot air for entire walls. No embarrassing circus tent over your home. No poison gas, no bagging your food, or moving out for a couple of days. Ecola Termite and Pest Control gets rid of termites effectively and quickly. So call Ecola at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola. Powerful termite and pest control, as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS. This is the Sue Freed Show.
So we're back from break. Kristen, if you have a cell phone in your room, could you turn it off? And Karen, I want to talk to you about your transition period in your life.
Okay.
Hi, Karen.
Hello, how are you?
I'm just great. How are you?
I am blessed and highly favored of the Lord, weary but pressing on.
Well, that's good.
like Gideon's men, weary but pressing on.
Right. So you're in a transition period in your life.
I think so, yeah.
Uh-huh.
I've got a bunch of horses and a bunch of little dogs. It seems like I got into a rescue mode, and there were some people involved for a while. We were Rising Hope Ranch, and, you know, they've gone their own ways now for various reasons, surgeries and whatnot. And I just think, okay, what am I really doing with them for the Lord with all these animals?
Wow.
But I do have a young lady that's helping me and her daughter, and if it weren't for the fact that they were able to help me and I was able to compensate them by doing so, they probably wouldn't have any funds. So,
wow, that's nice.
In a way, it's kind of a ministry in that regard as well. So,
well, that's great. Sounds like you've already got a little bit of an answer there that, you know, you are doing something for the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
So do you have a question for us today?
Well, I know that you had kind of a setback there for a while with one of your horses as well.
I did.
That does occur on occasion when we're just not even thinking it's going to happen. So.
Yeah. And sometimes it ends, you know, things that we're doing in our lives, it ends those things from, you know, ever being able to do them again. But I will tell you a neat little story, Karen, just real quick, is that I got back up on a horse in Jamaica, and I rode this horse in the water, which was a bucket list item for me. So it was my first time after my shattered leg incident, and I got back up on a horse again. So I feel very fortunate that I was able to do that.
Oh, my goodness. Did you still keep your horse?
My horse got sold. I think he was too much horse for me, and I'm okay with that.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So
wow.
I'm glad you're doing what you're doing for the animals because they need to be taken care of, and it sounds like you're helping some people along the way. So thank you so much for calling in.
Well, thank you for your program. It's really wonderful.
Oh, thank you, Karen.
I'm always glad to hear your voice.
Oh, thank you. You know what? I never know who's listening out there, so it's nice to hear that you're listening.
Well, you know, I just think why people would jump on the opportunity to gain from your wisdom, you know, and your counsel. I just think, okay, people, let's get on the phones here.
Well, gosh, thank you so much, Karen. I really appreciate that. Thank you so much. The next caller is Melissa. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Sue.
Hi, sweetie pie.
Hi, how are you?
I'm just fantastic. And how are you?
Good, good. I was listening to the show right now, and I just wanted to let you know that you're a big part of the woman that I am becoming, and I just want to thank you for everything, Sue, that you've done for my mom and I.
Thanks, Melissa. Wow, that was unexpected. Thank you so
I know.
Much, sweetie.
I knew you were going to cry right now when I talk to you, too.
Thanks a lot, kiddo. I love you.
I love you, too, Sue.
Okay, thanks.
Okay. And then also, I have a friend, Rose, who's in the Navy. And I just want you to, if you can please just say a quick prayer for her on the radio, for her and her family, because she's actually somewhere in the middle of the ocean right now near Indonesia. And I just wanted you to just say a prayer for her, please.
Okay. Oh, and who's the little baby I hear?
Oh, my boyfriend's daughter.
Oh, well, hello, little baby.
Hi.
Okay. Okay, I'll pray for Rose at the end of the show, okay?
Thank you so much, Sue.
Thank you, Melissa.
Bye.
Bye. Well, that was unexpected, Kristen. I'm sorry. It's like, wow. Melissa has been working for me since she was 15 and a half.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, she's 21 now.
Wow, that's
so
a long time. That's
pretty exciting. And, that was really wonderful. So thanks
it's
again, Melissa.
Nice. It's great to have reaffirmation of the lives that you touch.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, so often, I don't know. Like you were saying, there was a woman in your life that, you know, helped you and brought you to church, and that's something I've done with Melissa. So it's really wonderful, you know. And listeners out there, you know, look for opportunities to do just that. You know, it could be so simple. Could be, you know, you got an empty seat in your car, and you see somebody there, just ask them if they want to go to church. It could be that simple, you know. It could be just that simple. Getting back to this book a little bit that I was talking about overcoming writing blocks, and I'm saying that life, we have blocks in our lives. And when I was thumbing through this thing, I circled so many things. And it's just amazing how decision-making, and whether you're writing a book or just making a decision or trying to figure out your life. And I was talking at the very beginning, opening of the show, I was talking about that our life is like a canvas, and that we have decisions to make on how that canvas or how that picture is going to pan out. And one of the things that I wrote here was outlines. The chief benefit of any kind of outline when you're blocking and organizing your material is that it gives you a provisional grasp of an overall pattern of interrelationships among different aspects of your subject. So whatever your subject is, and I I wrote life next to this. Blocking is the panic of not knowing where to go next, and outlining is the way to avoid it. I write from an outline. I don't sit down at the typewriter and expect words to come out. This must be an old book, typewriter. It starts as a general outline for the book, and then I break it down into chapter outlines, and each chapter I break down into scenes. I know where I'm going. This is from Judy Krantz. And when I visualized what she was saying there, it's kind of like, you know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? You figure out your goal. You figure out what you're trying to do or what you're trying to accomplish in life. And then you break this down. It's like goal setting. You have a goal in life, whether it's writing a book or it's making a decision on a career path, whether it's your marriage and how to make it better, whether it's parenting and you know, what's the goal? You know, how do you want your children to turn out? And then you parent or discipline based on the goal at the end of the road. And it could change your decision making because, you know, your parents did it one way and you don't ever want to do it like that. Could be one of your thoughts. Or, you know, it just whatever you're trying to accomplish in life, you look at that, look at the outcome at the end of that tunnel, and then work your way back. Would you agree with that, Kristen?
Oh, definitely. Yeah. I mean, I think for anyone making a tough decision or a decision in their life that they feel like they need, you know, guidance. And I think that a lot of the times you do an outline is also maybe how do you see yourself and where do you see your strengths and how do you see what you want to do and where you want to go. And then that will help you to accomplish it even more.
And in the book, it talks about getting started. And this is writing a book, getting it started. And it says, revisit your purpose statement. Revisit your purpose statement. Why are you here? that is a huge question, isn't it? Why am I here, Lord? Why am I here?
Right?
Yeah. What's my purpose here on this earth?
Exactly.
Right?
And those are things that I was asking him even up to, you know, I still ask him that daily. And then when you choose to do something, and even like publishing a book, then you constantly ask yourself, was that the right thing to do? Is this really where you want me to go? Is this really what I'm supposed to be doing? I think we always second guess ourselves because, you know, we're sinful human beings and we always kind of think, you know, especially if we run into negativity along the way or blocks along the way, as you're saying, then we start to second guess. And I think that's really when we have to rely on the Lord to kind of open those doors or open those thoughts in our minds to say, okay, where am I going to go from here? Whether we're affirming what we're doing or we're closing the door on what we're doing and we're moving on to something else.
That's right. The Past Success Springboard is another thing on this book, and it says, start by declaring firmly to yourself out loud, if possible, that you're not going to let your own fear defeat you. Now repeat it.
Right.
Say it like you mean it. Listen to yourself say it. And then remind yourself that blocking, if you're blocked on a decision or whatever's going on in your life, remind yourself that blocking is never permanent and that the mood you're in at the moment is only one of the many moods that are a part of your life. There is also joy, vitality, and excitement, all of which you can expect to re-experience soon. Telling yourself all this won't, of course, miraculously clear up your block right there on the spot, but it will make you receptive to an uplift in your mood. Recent psychological studies confirm the effect of this kind of positive self-suggestion techniques. If you tell yourself that you're resourceful and capable, you will become more so, and the blocking struggle will begin to fade. It keeps going, and I'm just thinking, this is so funny because this is talking about writing a book, you know?
Right, but you can apply it to so many aspects of your life, right?
Exactly. Try to bring to mind as clearly as possible how you went about creating a successful piece. Remember that you struggled even then to find the right words, that you made false starts, that you restructured the work. It just keeps going, and it's just saying that whatever it was, ultimately it worked, and the evidence is right there before your eyes, meaning that, you know, life is a journey. We're going through this life, and there's going to be ups and downs. Yeah. And if you don't have any lows, you're not going to appreciate the highs.
Exactly. And I think one of the things it was saying that really touched huge on something was fear.
Fear.
I mean, I think the biggest thing is fear. And people of them not pursuing something they really want to do or even changing their lives or whether it's, you know, even to become a Christian or go to church. Like, these things especially change. You know, I think people fear change, whether it's, you know, moving somewhere, new job, what am I going to do, or leaving college, pursuing something else. We're fearful of those things because it's different from them what we've been doing. And are we going to fail at it? Are we going to do well? Is this where God wants us to be? And it's all spurred on by fear. And I think that's what holds us back the most. And I think if we try to get rid of that and really say, okay, I'm going to try this. I'm going to do everything that I can 100% to the Lord, that he will guide our footsteps and he will make our path straight.
And he will.
Definitely.
So where does someone find this book? And if they have a teenager, a college student, even a 30-year-old or any age for that matter, you know, it's good reading. I can just imagine. I haven't read the book yet, but I'm looking forward to it. You said you'd give me one, and I'm looking forward to that.
Yes,
okay,
thank
so
you.
Where do people find your book?
Well, right now you can pre-order it online from anywhere, like Amazon, Barnes & Noble, iTunes. It's all in those places. Or they can go to my website at kwells.tateauthor.com, and there's a link there that they can actually get the book now. There's an e-book and a paperback book available.
That's
awesome.
And they
can get it directly from there.
Yeah, I'm going through the PayPal, setting up my PayPal, and doing all this stuff too, so I know exactly what you had to go through to get there. And I want to talk to you more offline about, you know, how you went through this process, because I'm at the beginning stages. You know, I've written the book. I'm on my last time, and even in this book it was talking about, you know, sooner or later you're going to have to just say, okay, it's done, even though you know it's not perfect. But you've got to just say, okay, it's good enough. And I don't like the good enough thing, because I'm not a good enough person. You know, I like to, you know, perfect things and be excellent in anything that I try to do. So it's difficult for me to just say, okay, that's it. We're going to do it now, you know. So.
And then to have that out there for everybody. You
I know.
Then you have to say, okay, I'm going to release this. And then you hope, you know, then it's up and out there for everybody to see and critique. And you hope that it's perfect enough for the Lord to use.
That's so funny. I wrote down here, I put it out there, and you want it to be accepted.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to almost free yourself to realize that, you know what, not everybody's going to like it and whatnot.
Exactly.
You have to free yourself to end almost to not caring so that you can be free to just do it, just pursue
exactly.
it, just go for it.
Right. Because, again, it's that whole fear thing. Like, you just want, you want to be accepted and you want people to love it. And it is. It's going to be that not everybody is going to love what you do. And the thing is, it doesn't matter what everyone else thinks. It matters what the Lord has in store for it. And that's the most important thing, whether it's from writing the book or even people pursuing music or whatever it is that they're doing in their lives, that you hope that whatever you do, as long as you're doing it to the glory of the Lord and you're putting it out there as much as you can, that the Lord will use it. And then I have to say, okay, I'm going to step back and I'm going to let the Lord take control, and I'm going to have to, you know, be okay with the negative and grow with that. You use those things to grow even further.
Absolutely, but you have to humble yourself and allow yourself that, don't you? That's definitely hard to do sometimes, you know, because people can be critical. But, you know, if we learn from it, then we're better because of it.
Exactly. It's only just you have to chalk it up to another growing experience, you know, and know that the Lord has good things in store for it as well.
You know, I've enjoyed our time, Kristen, and I really would like to get to know you better, and I mean that sincerely. I think that we could do some more things together, and I think that would be awesome. And I really would love for you to meet my daughter.
I would love to.
Because I think that would be a great relationship. So I would love to have you do that. I'm going to read something right now from the KKLA magazine that I just read, and it's introducing my show. And I just want you to I want to read this to the listeners, because I want you to see if what we're doing here is what I'm saying we're doing here. And I think it's important for me to do this. So I'm going to read it. The writer of Hebrews tells us that faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the certainty of things unseen. We all hope for things we do not see, whether it's a better job, a better marriage, healing of an illness or injury, or countless other aspirations. Where does our assurance come from? The answer is Jesus Christ. Does this assurance imply health, perfect monetary success, or marriage? No. Our assurance is that Christ rose from the dead, and we do not need to suffer for our wrongs in separation from God, meaning that we need to have a relationship with him. That God causes all things to work for the good of those who love him and are called according to his purposes. That he promises to take care of our needs if we seek his righteousness and his kingdom, and not our righteousness or our prideful pursuits. This hope gives us confidence, which develops faith, which gives us endurance and perseverance, knowing that any trial we may be going through cannot be compared to the glory we will have with him when he calls us home. That he wants to showcase us as his personal ambassadors to show the world who he is. And this is seen most in our hope, joy, confidence, and assurance of our hope in and through these types of trials. We will receive the crown of life if we finish strong in this race. Our minds and attitudes drive our behavior, going from I'm broken to I'm healing every day. Is a matter of perspective through God's eyes. Only God has complete control of our lives and the time frame of events. These are just a few of the things I am pursuing to know, to not only know, but to live in a reality of. And that's my presentation to this show. I'm hoping that what I've written here is a true picture of truly what this show is about. I'm hoping that I'm not falling short. I don't think I am. And I think that the guests that I have on and the topics that we talk about is giving hope when people are feeling hopeless. And thank you to those listeners that called in. I really appreciate you calling in. Melissa, I adore you and I'm so proud of you. And there's a couple other people that I just want to mention. My mother-in-law, she's my biggest fan. And I just thank you so much, Mom, for your critiquing my show and telling me, you know, what you tell me. I don't take it lightly, and I appreciate everything that you've done and do for me. You're such a strong character, a strong, courageous woman of God, and what a mentor you are to me. So, Kristen, in closing, do you have anything else you'd like to say to those listening that could be of help to them?
You know, just to not be afraid to seek something better, and that you're not stuck where you are, that there's never a hopeless moment, that there's always hope in Christ, and that you can come from a place of where you think that you're completely lost into a place where you're completely found, and to never give up that hope.
That's awesome. And that's truly a very big and great message that, you know, we both come from trials and tribulations, and right. We didn't get into any of those deep. We'll have to, you know, read the book, I think, you
yes.
know. But you said that there were drugs involved. And
right.
Last week I was talking about getting back to the basics and forgiving ourselves. And a gentleman that I've known for quite a while called and said that he lost his son at 23 years old to drugs. He was feeling very guilty about it and
right.
and whatnot. And it was reassuring, and it was nice that he was able to open up on the air and express himself the way he did. And it just made me feel so much closer to him by him doing that. Because, you know, we think that our stories or our secrets in our closets, that our skeletons are so bad.
Right.
But the amazing thing about that is that when we open that door to that closet, that, you know, you could be helping another human being by being transparent, by allowing your secrets to be told. I caution those that, you know, go to a safe place to do this. Don't just, you know, flood it out there. But, you know, make sure
right.
that, you know, you're careful about who you tell and make sure it's a safe place. I think that's
yeah.
really important.
So.
But there are a lot of safe places out there to find, you know, help. You are listening to The Sue Free Show on our flagship station, 99.5. We are syndicated, which means that this show goes to San Diego all the way to San Luis Obispo. Did you know that, Kristen?
I did not. That's terrific.
Isn't that neat? And
that's
now with
wonderful.
The web, it not only goes that far, it actually goes anywhere and everywhere.
That's great. What a blessing for you. That's a tremendous ministry.
It's amazing to me. It really is amazing. It's just, it's
it
beyond,
great?
Beyond. But you know what? We tend to shortchange ourselves. And if we allow God to be in control, you know, he wants people to know that it's him. And he does that because his way is so much bigger than ours.
Exactly.
You know, I mean, yeah. you know, what he wants to accomplish is so much bigger. We're in this box, you know, and his ideas and his dreams and purposes for us are so much bigger than what we could ever imagine.
Exactly.
And if we just allow ourselves to get unstuck and not have that fear, to allow the fear to go away, then
right.
He can actually do his work and his will be done.
And I always, you know, I always see it as this, I always picture myself as this tiny little puzzle piece in amongst this huge puzzle. And we can't see the whole puzzle as a tiny little piece, but once it's all put together and we see it from a distance, we know exactly that what God was doing. And we have to remember that, that God knows exactly what he's doing and that we can trust him and we can trust his will and that, you know, it will all come together.
And it will. It will come together. And, you know, looking back at my life, I know that I'm older than you. I don't know how old you are, but I know I'm older than you. And I just know that looking over my life, it's like at the time I was going through whatever it is I was going through, I didn't understand what was happening and why it was happening.
Right.
But now looking back, I am thankful for every single trial, every single tribulation, because I would not be the person I am today. And I wouldn't understand the strength and the courage that the Lord gives me if I hadn't had to press in towards the mark. If you know what I mean? If I didn't have to do those things, I wouldn't be and wouldn't know who I am if I didn't have to go through struggles.
It's true. And if people, you know, people have asked me or have said, oh, I'm sorry for what you've gone through, or, you know, what would you change? And I wouldn't change a thing. I really wouldn't. I wouldn't be a Christian if I wouldn't have gone through what I did. And I wouldn't have such an amazing relationship with God right now. And I wouldn't have the terrific husband I have now or the two beautiful children that I have now. So I wouldn't change a thing. And, you know, and even though we go through struggles daily and we sin daily, I know that, you know, that I, because of where I came from, that I can make it through. Even though things still hit us and there's still terrible things that may happen in our lives, that it's not the end, that God is the beginning, and that we just have to hold tight to that and that we can persevere.
So there's this firm foundation of belief and faith that you lean on.
Exactly.
And it gets you through a trial and a tough time, and you know that the sun's going to come up every morning.
Right.
And tomorrow's another day. It's a new day.
Exactly.
I have that in my bathroom, you know. It's a new day. The sun comes up every morning, and it's a new day.
Exactly. Everybody should have that in their bathroom.
Yeah.
It's a good thing to remember that every day is a new day and that we can start anew with the Lord and that he forgives us. And you know what? I think he forgives us, and I know this, way more than we forgive ourselves. We have a harder time forgiving ourselves than God does forgiving us.
That is so true. And I tell people all the time that, you know, it's one thing to forgive others, but we need to forgive ourselves. And this lie that we're unworthy is so, so much a lie, and that God gives us grace.
Right.
And grace stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. That's the acronym.
Beautiful.
And I love that. And it's true.
Yeah.
He died for us. And if it was only just you, only you, listener, only you, he died for just you. So you're important enough for that to happen. So understand that. So reach up to him if you don't know him and ask him to just come into your life, and he will right here, right now. And I just love that. I'm going to pray for Rose right now that's in the Navy overseas. I don't know if she'll ever hear this or not, but I'm just going to pray for her. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for all the military people that go and sacrifice their own lives to fight for our freedoms and fight for our country. And Lord, for this woman named Rose, Lord, I just pray for her and her family. And I just pray that the peace that just is beyond, Lord, that there be a peace, that Rose will come home and she'll be back with her family again, and that she's doing a wonderful, wonderful thing. And we thank you, Rose, so much. And Lord, just protect her and protect her family and bring her back home safely to her family, Lord. And we just thank you so much for all you've done for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're at the very closing of this thing. So is there anything else you'd like to say to the listeners? Real quick.
One thing really quickly I'd want to point out is if you do know somebody that's struggling, don't be afraid to go to them. You know, don't be afraid to say something to them and offer them hope and love. It's all they can say to you is no, right?
But yeah, just never mind.
Yeah.
Give them a hug.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's great. So, Kristen, thank you so much for being on the show. I really appreciate your time, and we want to have you back on, I think.
That would be terrific. Thank you, Sue. This has been so fun. It's been great to get to talk to you.
Next time you need to come in face-to-face, though. I like that better. I like relationships, and I like to see your face.
That would be great.
Okay.
I would love it.
Okay. God bless you, Kristen, and, you know, success and significance. And to the listeners, God bless you. Make yourself a blessing to someone each and every day. Until next week, God bless you. Bye.
Child, you're forgiven, and child, you are loved. Child, you're forgiven and loved.
The Sue Free Show is sponsored by Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. Ah, it's that time of the year when bugs multiply like crazy and they start looking for a home, your home. Ants, spiders, fleas, earwigs, termites, and a lot of other creepy crawly critters, even rats and other varmints. It's time to call Ecola Termite and Pest Control Services. They offer complete ecological pest control of rodents and insects. Ecola has one-time services, ongoing monthly services, their most popular and economical every other month service, and even quarterly service for occasional pest problems. Ecola keeps rats and mice out and eliminates insects in their nests. It's the most effective way. And their termite control is legendary. So call Ecola today for a free estimate of complete pest and termite control at 800-332-BUGS. 800-332-BUGS. Ecola, powerful termite and pest control services as gentle as a butterfly. Ask about their 2-year warranty. Call 800-332-BUGS.